Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Extra Serving, a podcast by The Last Bite Network and Nation's Restaurant News. I am your host, Holly Petrie, and I'm joined by two of my colleagues.
My name is Sam Okus. I'm editor-in-chief of Nation's Restaurant News.
And I'm Joanna Fantozzi, senior editor with Nation's Restaurant News.
Woohoo! Welcome to the podcast, guys. Week before Create.
I like the energy because I certainly have none of it right now as we prepare for flying to Denver and hosting a conference. But yeah, sure. No, it's good. You're carrying the energy for us.
I'll carry the energy. It's fine. We're excited. It's a Thursday.
Sam has been working a lot.
Lots to do. Lots to do. You know, it's Friday for those who are listening to this, if they're listening to this on the day of launch, which I assume everybody does. So even more yay, Friday.
Oh, Fridays. Beautiful. Beautiful day of the week.
We invented the time machine.
We did invent the time machine. So anyways, it was a quiet week for news, but there was some fun news. The new IHOP Flipped restaurant finally opened, the fast casual version of the family dining restaurant that's focused on off-premises, on not sitting down. It opened in Lawrence, Kansas. So that's really exciting. They've been talking about it for about 2 years. The next one is set to open in New York City. So very different from Lawrence, Kansas. They're really testing a bunch of different markets there, but I'm very excited to see what the reaction is to it, because they've been talking about it for a long time. IHOP has some really, really loyal followers. I could always go for a pancake. So I'm very much looking forward to the fast casual version coming to me. But I'm curious what you guys think about the store finally opening.
It feels like I'm better than Netflix. I think the trend of casual dining, full service brands, rolling out casual prototype and brands has been going on for 7 years now. You know, a number of casual brands tried it. Some of them, I think, still continue to test it. Hooters had a pretty good at having a fast casual concept. Hoot. Cracker Barrel had one. It's the net is alien. We recognize the foundation of
We're obviously focused and dedicated to doing that. Most of the other places I see in the wing space are either full service, you know, their bars like Buffalo Wild Wings and concepts like that, or Hooters or whatever, have launched their own fat cattle brand, you know, version of their brands. But this is really all we do, and we're very, very good at the in this wheelhouse of fast casual, off-premise consumption, high dependence and integration of technology and really efficient operations. So we think we're well positioned. We think we've done a really good job of, you know, optimizing the brand since our acquisition. And we've got a tremendous amount of interest with franchise partners around the country committing to development schedules in their markets. And so, you know, we think it's going to be a lot of fun going into next year as we really see who ends up being the clear winner.
I'm sure, and we're looking forward to seeing that growth. And so why was, kind of more broadly, why was Wingzone a good fit for Capriati's?
Yeah, as I said, we were looking for something that was in our wheelhouse. We're really good at that. You know, 12 to 1400 foot model. Capriati's is kind of, you know, growing coast to coast. We've got 300 stores in development. And it's really, you know, it's at that hockey stick inflection point where it's really growing, and we had really good teams that had bandwidth to do more. We had investors and capital partners that wanted us to do more. So we were looking for an acquisition for a couple of years, and we felt like Wingzone from a brand standpoint was really where we wanted to be. They had a really good product. They had a really good reputation. They just kind of needed the horsepower and, you know, the capital to put behind them to take it to the next level. And their ownership group aligned really well with ours. And that's always super important when you're going to integrate a brand, is that you're bringing people on board that align with you from a values and vision standpoint. And we thought, as I said, you know, there is a clear opportunity to position ourselves as the undisputed number two in the category. And so it fit all those parameters. We ended up, you know, to put the deal together pretty quickly. And so, you know, we as a company always tend to invest ahead of growth. So we're doing all the brand optimization, all the technology integrations and upgrades and We're opening company shops first and foremost ourselves to prove out everything that we say, and we will be the largest owner and operator of Wing Zones in the country ourselves, which is something that we tend to do with our brands. We think as a franchisor, we should be significantly invested in the operation side, not just the franchising side. And so we're in the throes of doing that right now as well.
And what are the benefits of being more invested in the operation side, as you said?
That is a super good question, and I'm not sure everybody usually really understands or appreciates how important it is, but it means when we want to test something and try something, and we have a very robust innovation roadmap going all the time, and that's around product and processes and training platforms, and certainly everything involved in a restaurant. We don't have to go find a franchisee to test it. We just put it into our shops, and candidly, it doesn't work right out of the box a lot of times. It needs some tweaking and it needs some adjusting, and some things might, get fine-tuned in a matter of months. Some may take a couple of years. So it allows us to take those arrows, so to speak, and make those investments and those risks. And once we feel like, okay, this is a big enough lever that we can pull and it's going to be a significant game changer for us, then usually our franchise advisory council members or some of our larger franchisees around the country like to test those things. And once we prove it out regionally, then we make it available to the whole system. And so we have this constant roadmap or iteration process going on of introducing new technologies, testing new products. It's also where we do our training, where we develop our people. You know, when you're in a high growth mode, you can't just hire everybody from the outside and expect them to get the culture. You have to develop your own teams as well. So those are really important. And then lastly, I'd say, it puts us on the same page as our franchisees. We're looking at food costs and labor costs and every little line item. How do we reduce insurance? And how do we become more efficient in our kitchen? And how are our operations working, and how can they work better? And it just means we're really aligned with our owners. And I will tell you, my experience is it makes a huge difference that most franchisors don't do. Most of them are not significant owners of their own brands. And I think it's a big competitive advantage for us.
Mm-hmm. I think that makes sense. And it's so important, I think, to invest in restaurant brand culture from a firsthand perspective. And another way it seems like you guys are doing that is through the planned brand refresh of Wing Zone. Could you walk me through what we'll see from that?
Sure. Well, first of all, we engaged with a company called Live It Design. They're probably the world's foremost restaurant consulting company. They're based in Madrid and have offices in Portugal and DC. And something like once every 8 hours, a Live It inspired brand opens somewhere in the world. So they're really, really good at this. They've done deep work in the category, the wing category, the chicken category, and certainly the branding and design. Since we operate global, we're in 5 countries besides the U.S., and so we wanted a global company to look at it and really make sure we understood what was going on, not just here in the United States, but what kind of innovations are happening around the world. So it was, number one, just engaging with what we believe to be the best in the category from a consulting standpoint, and then asking them to really rip apart the operation from every aspect, top to bottom, and make sure, as I said, it was optimized before we started growing. And that's kind of important to us, is I think a lot of brands kind of grow and, figure it out along the way. We always believe in investing up front. So we've revamped really the entire restaurant. We've been able to reduce the cook times by like 80%, which dramatically increases efficiency in the back of the house. We've got our technology, our AI phone ordering and kiosks and food lockers. And we have everything from a scent strategy to a music strategy to, really considering every single touch point of the consumer experience and making sure it's optimized, and really kind of positioning the brand for where things are going, which is obviously very, very heavy off-premise consumption, demand for the product to be at your door in optimally under 20, 25 minutes. And so we've really had to get efficient in the back of the house. And then lastly, position the brand to be ready for everything that's coming down the road, which is, you know, back of the house automation and robotics and all those kind of things. So we're excited. We've done a lot of really good work, and I think it's, you know, just like Capriati's, our investments, technology investments, tend to pay off significantly over time, and we think the same will happen here.
Mm-hmm. And how are you incorporating the improved technology investments with the restaurant design?
Some you'll see, some like, you know, self-ordered kiosks or QR codes or pickup lockers or, you know, a really open kitchen where, you know, the use of technology to our mind should be to enhance the consumer experience, to free up your employees to have more interaction with your consumers, not just replace employees, right? So the technology immediately will do that. You know, when you order on the phone, you'll be talking to an artificial intelligence, and that order will get automatically injected into the POS system. And, you know, you try and call the average, you know, pizza place or wing, you know, place in the middle of a rush at 6-7 o'clock on a Friday night, you can't get through. And if they do answer the phone, they're in a rush, right? They're trying to get your order and get on to the next one. So by having really sophisticated AIs answering the phones and answering your questions and really being able to take every order and upsell that order and then inject it directly into the POS system, that has a really positive impact on the consumer experience, and it makes us much more efficient because I don't have to have two or three people sitting there answering the phone, you know, at night. And candidly, during these times, you can't even find those two or three people, so you're just not even able to answer the phone sometimes. So it's in a lot of, I guess, little ways, but what it does is kind of makes the, regardless of how you're accessing the brand, whether you're ordering online or through Uber Eats or DoorDash, or you're coming in picking it up, or you're having it brought to your house, or you're sitting in the restaurant, you'll find a completely, completely redone brand. And so we're really excited. And we think, you know, one thing Wingstop has done a great job of is it's told people and it's convinced people that wings are no longer just a party food or, you know, just a special occasion type item. It's a center of the plate. People eat wings for lunch and dinner all the time, in addition to catering parties and football games and things. So they've really expanded the consumer, you know, pool. And we think with our rebranding, and we're going to be able to further do that, speaking to a little bit younger generation and having a little bit, I'd say, cooler, hipper vibe, but still, you know, focused around sports and things that people like to go out and do.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that as a consumer myself. I'm always looking for a good wing place to get takeout from, kind of when you're tired of like pizza or whatever the case may be. Unfortunately, my neighborhood in Queens, our only wing place actually just closed. So maybe you guys should open in Queens.
We're talking to a very large group in Queens right now. We do have wing zones out on the island. We have a couple out on the island. We're about to open another one in the Bronx. So we're growing really fast. So hopefully we'll be in your neighborhood soon.
Oh, great. So where and when can we see this design roll out?
The first ones will be in here in Vegas, as I said, corporate shop. So we're signing leases right now for a number of corporate locations. But I would also say that some of our franchise partners that are existing, you know, large multi-unit operators of other brands, they're really bullish on the new design and the new technology, you know, and they like to test things, and they're not risk averse. So that we'll be opening in Atlanta, California, Florida, Texas. I'm trying to think of some of the other early markets that will open. We'll be opening all those very, very shortly, right behind the company shops, which will start opening in January.
Mm-hmm. And will you be retrofitting restaurants or kind of focusing on the new ones, new stores?
Both, you know, real estate nowadays is still, you know, getting A sites, you know, really strong sites today is still not easy and still not cheap. So we, again, spend a lot of money and a lot of time and energy on our real estate analytics and having a really strong real estate team to be on the ground. And so we're very careful about where we put our restaurants, regardless of whether it's Capriati's or Wingstop, because we think location is still really important. So, you know, that's the one thing we tend to take our time about, is finding the right space. And The good news is it's actually a lot easier to find a wing location than it is a sandwich location, because there's not actually that many national wing competitors out there. There's a ton of national sandwich competitors out there that keep us out of a lot of good sites we'd like to be in.
Yeah. It's so important, I think, to expand carefully and figure out what's the best geographic locations for your next.
Yeah. There's a lot of really good technology out there that captures all kinds of cellular data. I mean, literally millions of cellular data points and all the competitors' revenue information, and all the site dynamics, and it pulls all of our sales data in. And it's a real-time algorithm that predicts revenues and gives us the ability to do full financial projections. Like I said, we have about a 20-page site package for every location that we look at. And we're very careful about it. Mm-hmm.
And let's talk the food aspect of the brand refresh, which is to me the fun stuff. obviously I feel like a lot of brands, especially at this, because of the pandemic or even before, are kind of getting rid of the bulk on their menus to kind of make way for newer and better items. And so what is your strategy with menu?
First of all, I would say wings to a degree are a commodity. Everybody, you know, there's two wings on a bird and everybody's buying either a jumbo wing or a medium wing or a super jumbo. So the size may differ. You know, fresh versus frozen, I can tell you no national chain can really ensure that they're getting fresh wings 100% of the time nowadays just because of the demand. So, you know, you've got to be open to both. It really comes down to a couple things. The flavors of the sauces having flavor profiles and that people really love and they're engaged with. Wingzone was a pioneer in that area. 27 years ago, they were the first to have like 17 or 18 flavors. And so they did a great job keeping up with that before we acquired the brand. And certainly we're looking at, there's some new innovation happening in flavors, everything from truffle, you know, sauces and things like flavored infused sauces and things. So we're going to look at the innovation side, but that's an area Wingzone had already done a great job in. Secondly, you know, people want the food delivered to your door hot. They want the wings crispy. They want them, you know, tossed, a high quality wing, full of flavor, hot and crispy at their door. And so, you know, while it's great to have a product that comes out of the kitchen delicious, if 45 minutes or an hour later it's at your door and it's cold and it's not crispy anymore, it's not a great product. So a lot of it comes down to execution, how we really, and I'm going to be a little careful here about divulging too much stuff, but we have a process that allows us to really, really deliver wings quickly, keep the juiciness, the moistness, maintain the size of the wing. So you get a high, high quality wing, just the way it came in the back door, going out the front door. And we get it to your door quickly. And that's, you know, if you look at people that win in, say, the pizza business, which Domino's is probably, you know, the best at, that's how they do it. They're incredibly efficient in terms of their operations to deliver a really good product to people's door. And that's kind of how we look at this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And there's really nothing worse than getting soggy. Like everyone's had to learn how to deliver their food efficiently this time.
Yeah. And I would say candidly, some food just doesn't deliver very well. I mean, we were, one of the reasons that our off-premise delivery consumption and pickup, what have you, in Capriati's has grown so much, double-digit growth year after year for the last over 5 years, is because our food travels really well. And wings travel really well if they're packaged properly, if they're cooked properly, and you can get them out the door and to their homes quickly. If you can do those things, they travel really well. And then there's, you know, other food, you know, to me, burgers and fries and certainly shakes don't travel well. And so some brands, I would just say, you know, are not really as well suited to the delivery world as other brands. And we specifically wanted to get into wings because we knew the product, if we treated it right, would be very portable and hold up really well.
Yeah, for sure. And finally, I would ask, what's been the most challenging aspect of this brand refresh and how have you approached that challenge?
I would say temptation to do too much. We have so much opportunity and so much demand from franchise partners. The company is already operating internationally. All of the, you know, all of the, literally on a weekly basis, the new ghost kitchen operators, the new, you know, suppliers and vendors that want to work with us. Just, we tend to be very focused and very disciplined about how we run our companies. And so we've been able to avoid that, but I would say it's still tempting to, you know, again, I get once a week, somebody calling out, say, hey, we got a new, you know, robot, we have a new, you know, vending machine, we have a new ghost kitchen, we have a new this, we have a new that, and we think it's going to be game changing. So keeping the entire team, and we have a, you know, a very big team, you know, we have all of our departments, our IT, finance, marketing, you know, all operations, training, all of those departments focused on delivering against the promise and not getting distracted is probably, for any high growth brand, not just us, but for any high growth brand, is hard. And we have to put a lot of time and energy into it consistently to do that. So that's probably the biggest challenge, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. Great. I think then that's all the questions I have. This is such a great deep dive into an exciting brand, and we're looking forward to seeing how you guys grow it. Thank you so much for talking to me today, David.
My pleasure. I appreciate the time, and I look forward to speaking to you again sometime in the future.